This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My brother and sisters, it is a common practice among Muslims, alhamdulillah, is to read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. And there is several ahadith came in relation to the virtue of reading Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Friday or the night, yani, which it means from last night, Maghrib, all the way until Maghrib today. So some hadith refer to reading it before the day start, and some others said after the day start, all the way until Maghrib. And regardless of the debate that we have among the scholars over the authenticity of it, it is the ahadith, it is acceptable. And it is a very common practice, walillahi alhamd. Today, I would like to reflect on nine no's, don'ts, in the Surah Al-Kahf. هناك تسع لاءات في Surah Al-Kahf. Nine times in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't. Let's see what are these nine things. And we read Surah Al-Kahf every week. That means it carries so many messages for us, something that we have to pay attention to it. The first one comes in verse 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning how people arguing over how many the people of the cave were, how many persons were in the cave. سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hey, in this verse, after mentioning how people say three, and they said the fourth was the dog, five, and the sixth was the dog, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all this was assumption and basically saying things from their own, have no knowledge of it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the third number, which is, and they will say seven, and the eighth was the dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows specifically how many were in that cave. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my Lord is most knowing of the number. None knows them except a few. So do not argue about them except with an obvious argument. Or also can be translated, except with a kind way, in a nice way. Okay, so with knowledge and kindness. So that's the first thing that Surah Al-Kahf telling us, that we should be very careful when it comes to the issue of arguing and arguing with one another. And today in the world of social media, arguing became something so common. And Facebook and Twitter, on, you know, just people argue for the sake of arguing. And everything you say, people will start jumping. And even, you know, people get dragged into this, dragged into the mud, and became back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. SubhanAllah, there is three words in Arabic language. I don't think in English we have that, you know, as well established the way it's in Arabic. So we use the word mira, and we use the word jidal, and we use the word hiwar. Three words, which is basically means debate, arguing, and discussion. And also, mira is an arguing, but arguing with, basically, the argument al mira, it's when you argue after you realize that you are wrong. So that's what al-mira is to argue after it's clear to you you're wrong, but you don't want to admit it. So you start arguing just to win or to save your face. And no doubt that this is this type of mira, this type of arguing is the worst. And also arguing when you don't have evidence, when you're not sure, but you still argue with full confidence as if you know the truth, and arguing for the sake of arguing, not because you want to learn, not because you really want to come to a conclusion, it's just because I want to oppose that person, or because I want to show off, or because I want to embarrass the person, or just for the sake of saying no. You know, so that also something that common al-mira always was referred to in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as something bad. And al-jidal, this arguing, is also mostly في أكثر النصوص الجدل جاء مذموما في أكثر النصوص. Most of the evidence basically criticize the issue of arguing. Very few situations when arguing can be allowed, where it is with the truth, with based on knowledge, with the good intention, and when there is a great benefit from it. Like for what? Like for example, if a judge start argue the case, lawyers argue the case in front of the judge. That type of argument, because there is here, you know, rights to be protected. It's allowed in Islam. It is good. Also, to argue with someone who don't know the truth, to explain to him, to show him the evidence. Let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Nuh, that Nuh used to argue with his people, to tell them about Allah, to show them the evidence. But after everything became clear, and became for the sake of argue, Allah forbade even prophets and messengers to argue anymore. Or argue over things that is no benefit of it, which is here the case. What's going to make a difference if they are six or five? Nothing. The story of the cave, the people who went to the cave, means nothing to know if they were four or five or six or ten or three or any numbers. Makes no zero benefits. So that's why wasting time over it, you know, and debating over this will only lead to an argument that it will not establish any benefit, a waste of time. Also, it is so important to realize a simple fact. Argument are not meant, argument are meant to reveal the truth, not to make it. I'll say that again. You know, argument are meant to reveal the truth, not to make it. You know, some people argue and they want to make the truth. They just want to make thing out of nothing. Because, mashallah, they have very good tongue, sharp tongue, knows how to debate, knows how to... They make the truth as they argue. No, argument, actually, it is meant just to reveal the truth. Also, another thing, that any time you enter into a debate with someone who is just, you know for sure that they're not there to benefit, just for the sake of ignorance, for arguing, when you know clearly that they are completely ignorant and not willing to learn, don't waste your time with them. Because I'll tell you something, I learned that sometimes in the hard way, that when you argue with a fool, you make a two of them. You know, so just don't drag yourself down to that level. You know, if things are clear, and alhamdulillah, they said, don't argue when you are winning. You know, if things establish and you explain everything clearly, خلاص. You, after you establish the thing clear to people, whoever accept the truth, alhamdulillah, whoever not, it's their fault. It's not yours. Sharia told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mislead someone, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let people go astray, it is because of argumentation. They start arguing with one another, and that will lead them to go astray. So they argue with the Prophet, they argue over the Quran. That's why in the hadith Abi Dawud, al-mira'u fil Qur'ani kufr. Arguing over the Quran is a form of kufr. When you start argue about things, you have no knowledge of tafsir, you have no knowledge of Arabic language, you don't know nothing about the books of tafsir and ulum al-Quran, you know nothing about how the Quran is structured, you know nothing about the principle of Sharia, and someone keep arguing about, oh, this verse means this, and this verse established that, and all this what led people to go astray. Or the hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody argue, I can't trust the Sunnah al-Bukhari. Ya Habibi, who are you to say I don't know, trust the Bukhari? What do you know about ilm al-hadith? What did you study? Not because you grow some hair, you know, in your face, or you became taller, or you, you know, became an adult. It means you are a qualified person to argue. You are qualified when you have the knowledge. When you go study. When you learn, it's like me arguing with, you know, a physicist about launching, for example, the next, you know, NASA's rockets to the space. No, you have to put it in that angle to put it. What my knowledge to do that? Or argue with the doctor about a very specific thing that I have, all my information is from some WhatsApp message that I learned, or some, you know, these, you know, social media, TikTok, you know, information. You argue with someone that spend their half of your lifetime studying these areas. So that's so important for us to realize that. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ضل قوم بعد هدى كانوا عليه إلا أوتوا الجدل. When the ummah, and subhanAllah, I see this a lot today, especially in our country with the elections and stuff. There is so much arguing, and there is so little actions. People just for the sake is to prove you wrong, is to show you're false, picking your wording, picking your, but nobody really have any substance. And also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna abghad al-rijali ila Allah al-alad al-khasim." The most hated one to Allah is the one who, argue with people aggressively. يعني أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال كفى بك إثما ألا تزال مماريا. It's enough sin that you always argue about everything with your kids. You always argue with your spouse. You always argue with your friends. You always argue. Nothing will go easy. That kind of character trait, it's a trait that caused so much sins to be accumulated. Malik rahimahullah قال المراء يقسي القلب. Those who always argue like this, their heart is so يعني harsh, not soft. ويورث الضغائن, and make people hate you. Doesn't like, nobody likes you. So many young kids I met and I talked to, and when I asked them why there is so much distance between them and their parents, believe me, among the top three things that always mentioned to me is because my parents argue all the time. They always argue. And vice versa, most of the things that make adults and parents don't like their kids because the kids like to argue over everything. So I think we need to kind of balance this a little bit. يقول الأوزاعي إذا أراد الله بقوم شرا ألزمهم الجدل ومنعهم العمل. If Allah want, يعني if there is evil intent for his people, is when they start argue and they don't act. Many times I go to meetings. That meeting meant, for example, to talk about how to unify Muslim. Instead of we talk about how to unify Muslim in Houston, many times, the first thing, you argue over moon sighting, halal meat, and back and forth and back. Khalas, we know all those opinions, tayyib. But can we put a plan, actions? We all the whole 2 hours over arguing. So that's the problem. The problem when you don't have that, you know, when you start love talking more than acting, because talk is cheap. Unless you talk to a lawyer. yes. With all love to our lawyers, brothers here and sisters. I want to say also one more thing before I move from the first one. When you argue and you have a discussion about something, please make sure you understand the difference between facts and opinion. Don't treat your opinions as the ultimate fact. You know, it is, it's not Quran. So please, like, whenever, that's why Allah وَإِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا, يعني only with the very clear evidence. Otherwise, don't engage in this come back and forth. When you argue, also make sure, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, when you talk with people based on this verse, you talk in a nice way. قَالَ مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا, يعني ظَاهِرَ الْأَدَبِ وَالْحُسْنِ, يعني with respect, with nice words, you know. Raise your words. Don't raise your voice. Raise your words, but raise the level of your logic when you discuss things. But don't raise your voice. You know, it is rain that grows flowers, not thunder. Also, say what you mean. That's fine, but don't say it in a mean way. Just say it in a nice way. Be kind and nice when you talk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the end of the verse, وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Allah says, and do not acquire about them, you know, the people who don't acquire about the people of the cave, from any one of those who speculators, from any one of them. This verse is interesting. It teaches us something. Don't take knowledge from ignorance, or half learner, or double ignorant. You know what's double ignorant people, which is a lot of them exist these days. Double ignorant, those who don't know that they don't know. They don't know that they don't know. And they start talking and, you know, as if they are expert. And they are double ignorant. So that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, people ask the ignorant people. That's why Ibn Sirin said, this knowledge is deen. Make sure you take it from the right source, from the right source. Listen to what Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah said. قَالَ لَقِيتُ مَشَايِخَ أَحْوَالُهُمْ مُخْتَلِفَةً. I met so many teachers in my life. يتفاوتون في مقاديرهم في العلم, have different levels of knowledge. وكان أنفعهم لي صحبة العامل منهم بعلمه وإن كان غيره أعلم منه. The most effective ones who impact me the most, the one who practiced their knowledge the most among them. وكنت إذا قرأت عليه قال لقيت عبد الوهاب الأنماطي فكان على قانون السلف لم يسمع في مجلسه غيبة ولا كان يطلب أجرا على سماع الحديث. And among those teachers, عبد الوهاب الأنماطي, who was in the way of the early generations, follow their footsteps. He said, you never hear anyone backbite anyone, say bad things about others in his gathering. He never asked for money when he teach you the knowledge of the hadith. وكنت إذا قرأت عليه أحاديث الرقاق, and when I recite or mention the ahadith that talk about the day of judgment and the death and the thing that softened the heart, بكى واتصل بكاؤه, he will cry. And at that time I was very young in age, وأنا صغير السن, كان يعمل بكاؤه في قلبي. And since then my heart was moved by his character, by his soft heart, and how fast his tears can come down when I mention this ahadith. And that's really impacted my heart. Then I met Abu Mansur al-Jawaliqi. كان كثير الصمت. He's a person who don't talk too much. شديد التحري فيما يقول. He will not say something unless he's 100% sure about it. متقنا محققا. He is very meticulous, very critical thinker. وربما سئل عن المسألة الظاهرة التي يبادر بجوابها بعض غلمانه فيتوقف فيها حتى يتيقن. Sometimes you'll be asked about obvious things. The young students there will jump and say, oh, the answer is this and that. The hadith is in Bukhari. He will not rush to answer. He will take his time, think. So when he says something, he's 100% sure about what he's saying. وَكَانَ كَثِيرَ الصَّوْمِ وَالصَّمْتِ. He will fast a lot and he will remain silent most of his time. فَانْتَفَعْتُ بِرُؤْيَةِ هَذَيْنِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ انْتِفَاعِي بِغَيْرِهِمَا. I impacted, I learned so much from these two men more than any other's teachers. فَفَهِمْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْحَالِ. What this have led me to know, Ibn al-Jawzi said, أَنَّ الدَّلِيلَ بِالْفِعْلِ أَرْشَدُ مِنَ الدَّلِيلِ بِالْقَوْلِ. The impact that you have over people with your actions is way more than your words. The third one, Allah says, don't say that you will do something tomorrow unless you say, inshallah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't say, this, inshallah is about the future. Where I was born in Egypt, they say inshallah about things in the past, which is completely, make no sense. You know, inshallah, it is if Allah wills, when Allah wills. So you ask someone, what's your name? My name is Waleed, inshallah. خلاص, Allah willed it. يعني, you already named Waleed. You don't say, oh, my name is Waleed. Where are you from? I'm from Egypt, inshallah. خلاص, you're from Egypt. You, inshallah about the future. You know, they said, Juha, he was going to the market to sell his donkey. So they told him, say inshallah. He said, why? The donkey is big, يعني, everybody wants to sell, buy it. The market in front of me, and I'm holding it. They said, okay, after you. He went to get distracted. Somebody stole his donkey. And he didn't sell it. He came back having the rope around his neck, like, you know, sad. So the guy who told him, say inshallah, said, huh, did you sell it? He heard about it, about what happened to him. Did you sell it? He said, no, the donkey was stolen, inshallah. It doesn't work, inshallah, here. You know, he's about the future. So whenever you want to, so why? Why this etiquette? It's to make you always connect your heart with Allah. Don't think your power is enough. Don't think your will is enough. Don't think your knowledge is enough. That's just to humble you, to put you into your knees, and it's to make you always have this tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أسأل الله أن ينفعنا وإياكم بما سمعنا أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده بعد. The fourth one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And do not let your eyes pass beyond them, يعني the righteous, desiring the adornment of the worldly life. That's something very interesting to think about. How important is not only to be with the good, is not even to look at other than the good people. Don't get distracted. SubhanAllah, I feel sorry sometimes, even for my own kids and, you know, for the young generations. When you see all what they look at on TikTok and social media and Instagram, it's all those people who Allah described in the Quran, اتَّبَعَ هَوَىٰ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Those who fulfill their desires in every way and any way. And all what they see and all they watch is all these so-called stars and role model and influentials, you know, in social media and all this kind of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Muhammad, not to anyone else, don't look at other than the righteous people who mention Allah in the morning and in the night. Why? Because it will affect your heart, ya Muhammad. So how about me and you, who are far away from being like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, far away from being the Sahaba. It's so important to always focus and to read and to work about the good. Because when you became so familiar, you see all this bad all the time, you became, you know, you have no more, anymore like desensitized, like, you know, sensitized, like you became so numb towards it, toward the haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who desire the dunya, don't be among those who desire the dunya over the akhirah. It's okay to desire the dunya, but not over the akhirah. Not to be your main focus. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget about your share from the dunya. Remember that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the ummah, us, قَالَ مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm not worried about you being poor. Poverty, inflation, less money, low income. That's what not worries the most. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَخْشَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا أَنْ تُفْتَحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْكُمْ. You have an unlimited access to wealth and to worldly matters. That's what I fear the most. Because that means you will be only focused in money and in wealth. And desires, and it will destroy you. الآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ أَبْقَى. The fifth one, Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not obey the one whose heart was made heedless. Don't be among the heedless. Don't look at them. Don't follow the fools. Don't follow these people who are heedless. Don't think about Allah. Have no aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they end up into being all over the place, furata. And the one place that they will not find, which is Jannah, nasallahu al-afiyah, if they don't care about Allah. You know, if you find Allah, it doesn't matter what you lose. And if you lose Allah, it doesn't matter what you find and you collect in this dunya. Number six, Allah says, فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. And they follow me, do not ask me about anything until I make it to you about it mention. Sometimes we rush to ask. We ask before the right time. This is a teaching of the adab when you learn as a learner. Because all of us learners, no matter how old we are, you have to be patient. You have to wait. And a lot of things I want to say about this. But one important point is, remember this. Al-ilm is not only by asking questions. It's also by listening. Asking questions is important, and answering is important, but also more important is to wait until you observe the whole subject, then you start asking. Sometimes you find young kids, when you tell them about something, hey, ask a question, wait until I explain it to you. So you kind of basically have the knowledge in your head and your mind organized. Number seven, لا تؤخذني بما نسيت. Don't blame me for what I forgot, and do not cover me in my matter with difficulty. We need to learn how to have good faith in people. Excuse people. You know, don't blame people. Rush to blame people. People have bad days, have things going on through their life. You don't know. Many people, why did he do that? Why did she do that? You don't know. Just don't blame. You can ask, you can advise, you can, just think, have a good faith in them, find excuse for them. Then the last one, وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا. Don't cover me in my matter with difficulty. The one before the last. And this is, we have a say, إن كان حبيبك عسل ما تلحسوش كله, يقول لك. If your friend is honey, don't eat it all at once. And if I'm nice with you, don't overburden me. Some people take advantage of those who are good. MashaAllah, he's generous. Every time you ask him for money, he give you. Khalas. يعني it doesn't mean I have to go every time to the person. You know, not because I forgive you once. Sometimes you burden people. Don't overburden your children with too many requests, with too many things. Don't overburden your spouse with too many. Don't be too heavy to be carried, to be in the company of. Last one. فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذْرًا. Ya salam. He said, if I should ask you about anything, then he said, then do not keep me as a companion. Wallahi, this is a beautiful advice, which is learn how to move on. When you are burdened by someone who is overwhelming you, move on. Don't stay in this situation. So many people in marriage, in partnership, in business, you know, in friendship, khalas, let it go, cut it off. Move on in your life. Life, like, move on. If you don't move on, you know what happened to you? You fall back. If you don't move on, you fall back. So learn how to keep going, you know? So since life moves, you should move as well with it. We will evolve past certain people. So we have to understand that. And you have to be willing to accept that. If somebody doesn't make you comfortable, overburdening you, making you stressful, you know, somebody is so, there's something wrong here. And you have to stop and don't be afraid. You know, have that self-esteem and trust in Allah to move on in your life. You know, you can't expect to move forward if your emergency brake is on. You need to let the brake, you let basically off, the emergency brake off, then you can keep going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make us choose what's best for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and give us يعني, tafakkur and tadabbur, reflection on the verses of the Quran to learn, to be inspired by it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the beneficial knowledge and guide us to good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our parents, forgive our sins, guide our children and our families and all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring goodness to this masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring goodness to our hearts and make us generous and kind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive what we have done in secret or public, what we remember and what we don't remember. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us among the believers and to gather us with the believers and to make us among the inhabitor of Jannah. Allahumma ghafir lana wa li walidina wa aqaribina wa arhamina. Allahumma walli alayna wa ala al-muslimina khiyarahum wa abidanna wa anhum shirarahum. Allahumma ajma' kalimatana ala al-haqqi wal-huda. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'ima fi al-dini wal-dunya wal-mali wal-ahli wal-walad. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan saliha. Allahumma inna نسألك صلاح الذرية ونسألك صلاح الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم أحسن ختامنا ومسكنا بالإسلام والسنة حتى نلقاك وأنت راض عنا. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وأكثر من الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وقوموا للصلاة.